November edition of BBRO Bcast. I'm Francesca Broom, your host and Knowledge Exchange Manager for BBRO. Now, I don't want to tempt fate, but as we are in November, I think I can dare to say that 2024 season has been reasonably good. In most cases, the beat is a little bit small, but that's due to the late drilling. And we have got through the summer months relatively unscathed. Now, that is partly down to the weather, but it's also a sign of how closely we are having to monitor and manage the crop. And the need for attention to detail will increase. At BBRO, we have made a commitment to provide more timely and data-driven support. And for us, that means road testing new technology to gain better insights, more data, in-field results, and most importantly, to do all of these in less time. Let's catch up with Alistair as he investigates further. So I'm joined today in our site at Ruffham on the Goliath virus trial by Roger Barker of Living Optics and our very own Dr. Alistair Wright. And we're looking at some new technology, a new kit. And I'm sure listeners are aware of how excited Alistair gets. But even I haven't ever seen him this animated about something. So, Alistair, what is it that has brought you and Roger together today?
Well, I could say just an email, but... Roger and his team from Living Optics have brought us an array of hyperspectral cameras, which we're putting through their paces here at Ruffham on Goliath, just to see how it responds to virus in September. But the opportunities for this technology are sort of endless, so I'm very excited. So after a few weeks ago, I took some samples down to Oxford, to where Living Optics are based. But really, we needed to put it through its paces on some beet not growing in 1 litre pots of compost. So that's where we are. This is a really exciting product. And as you know, and as you've indicated, Ches, I'm always in the market for a new piece of technology. But I think what listeners, I hope, will be most interested in is we may have a way of detecting aphids without needing to get on your hands and knees.
That will certainly be of great interest, not just to growers, but to the BBRO team, because we're often called out to do a little bit of counting in the field, and we'll all be pleased for that. But you mentioned spectral camera, so I've got Roger here. What's the difference between a spectral camera and a normal camera?
So a spectral camera collects data on each pixel, much more data than conventional cameras. So we're all used to RGB. On our phones and on TVs and on screens generally. Our own eyes have three cones, a red, green and blue, that we use those to detect and see colour. And most cameras operate in that way. A hyperspectral camera operates across much more data at each pixel level. In our case, we look at 96 different channels between 440 and 900 nanometers. And that allows us not only to detect colour, but also work out the chemical composition of much of what we're looking at. So we can see differences in how things are made, how they're growing. We can detect differences in the lifestyle through a product. Is it lacking in nutrients? Is it just right? Is it the Goldilocks? All of this is stuff that you can detect using a hyperspectral camera. And that's what our interest is in here today as well.
And I know, Alistair, you've looked at this kind of tech before, but never quite to this degree, and often you've had to use your own computer to get some of the data off. But I understand that this little bit of kit in front of me, and it's only about 8 inches long, and that the whole setup can do it all in field, can't it?
It can. So what we have here is the camera development kit. This is all you need to go out and capture data in the field. We have an NVIDIA Orin development kit here. We have a battery here. We have 5 meter cable to connect to our camera. And the camera captures all the data you want it to capture, hyperspectrally.
Is it very heavy?
It's not very heavy. In all, it's about 4 kilos with everything we have here. The battery for this will run for roughly 2 hours. And the memory card in there will store all the data running for a couple of hours. It'll take a terabyte of data, roughly.
So eventually, hopefully, growers will be able to come out with a smaller version.
Yep.
And point it, say, at this poorly plant here, and it'll say, I've got one virus or the other, or maybe some wilt, as this one actually looks like it has. And then clearly we've got a healthier beet next to it. But what actually goes on inside, Roger?
So inside, yes, so the light comes in through the objective lens. We go to a preview camera here, which is a standard RGB sensor. We go through all the clever optics, which are Living Optics' secret sauce, to collect on a mono lens at this end. And then we combine that data with algorithms to make it useful data for Alistair to analyse and work out exactly what he wants to do with. And all of this happens in real time. I mean, this is a development kit, so we're aiming to make it smaller and more compact and easier to use. This is really designed for people to explore what they can do with things. We know we theoretically can do things, but we're imaging people, we're not agronomists, we're not farmers, so we want to work with people like the BBRO to prove that things are of use and can be done. And I came across one of the articles Alistair had written saying how he thought this was possible, and I thought he should be interested in our camera, and luckily he was.
So we can hear, I don't know if listeners can pick up, we've got a drone in the background. So first of all, Alistair, because you love drones, can you tell me a little bit about ours? Because I know you're looking to replace it. And what's here? Is that a piece of kit that you've also got your eye on?
It is, yes, Jez. So our drone is 6 years old now. We've done well over 300 field flights with it. She served the BBRO very well, a very key member of the team, and carries our multispectral camera. So that sees in 5 discrete wave bands. Clearly, Roger said this one's up to 96. So far more data we would get off a camera like this. But I won't be putting the camera out to pasture yet, or the multispec anyway, because it is a very good piece of kit. But like growers' tractors, they wear out. It's out of its support time. So there's a Matrice 300 from DJI here. It flies for longer. It's got bigger rotors. So hopefully we'll be investing in one of those. And clearly, that has the capacity to carry this hyperspectral kit. So the opportunities are sort of endless there for what we could do in the future as well.
And unlike most growers, you know, you're all looking for something that's either blue or green or red. This is actually a black drone, isn't it? And most drones are black. So, you know, there'll be no fighting over whose label is on it. It's a black drone. But Alistair's obviously very keen on developing this work. What he didn't mention was, again, like your kit at home, the drone has had a few accidents as well, hasn't it?
Just a couple. No comment, I mean. So.
Oh, right.
Why do you think he's not flying it now?
As you would expect with the wind and weather, that some of the conditions
trees.
That he's had to fly in, yeah, and trees, we have had the odd little bump, but it is still working. So well done for that after 6 years. It's probably a rare feat for most people, I would imagine. So, Roger, we've got quite a few of your colleagues in the field at the moment.
Yep.
Do you want to just tell us a little bit about what they're doing?
So I'll start on the drone, because that's actually the least interesting thing in some ways today, but it's very interesting for Living Optics in a different context. For us, it's the first time we have actually flown on a drone anywhere. So we did have a little trial a couple of days ago, but this is the first time we've tried to capture any data. So we're not expecting miracles, because there's all sorts of things that we would ideally do to make it better, but this is a first trial run and see what happens. So that's Tim Stevens out there with another Alistair. We've hired to pilot things. We've heard you have to be called Alistair to pilot a drone around here. So we went searching for one. Further out in the field, I can just make them out in the distance. We have Elvira Costello and Kenton Kwok, who are two members of our technical sales support team, or applications team, and they're going out at the moment through the various types of beet and stages of beet with different diseases that are known, capturing lots and lots and lots of data. And then from this, we'll start to say, right, what does a good signature look like? What does an unhealthy signature look like? Can we tell the difference between A, B, C, different types of disease? One, we'll be looking at this ourselves, but we'll be feeding all of this data back to Alistair as well, so he can play and have a look and help us interpret it correctly. And if we do that, then we have a solution.
And it, I mean, to be honest, the two that are walking the field look very much like Ghostbusters.
They do. It's a reasonable weight to be walking around with. It's about 4 kilos, the development kit. So to be walking around with that for an hour, they wanted something a little easier. And it's actually their boss came up with it, and we just take the mickey out of him all the time because he does look like something out of Ghostbusters when they're walking around doing it. But it works, and that's the important thing.
And it's probably quite a bit lighter than a knapsack sprayer, so...
Yes, I would say so.
I would imagine quite a few people are used to that kind of weight. So, Alistair, we're in Goliath, and obviously we've got three different viruses here.
We certainly do.
Are you expecting to see a huge difference in the spectral camera of that?
I hope so. I'm really hopeful that we'll be able to detect differences between the different species of virus. And this is the perfect test bed because we've got various different sort of stages of diseases between the different varieties we're testing. And really, it's to eliminate that guesswork at this time of the year of which virus people have and where. We know that the new genetics are probably a lot stronger against beet mild and beet chlorosis viruses, and therefore it's important to try and know where those hotspots are versus the beet yellow's hotspots so that we can deploy the best genetics in the best places. But of course, it also comes around to estimating yield loss, severity. It's all done by eye at the moment, taking a lot of time, a lot of educated guesswork as well, and it's a costly exercise. Of course, if we can then find the right bands or data sets and a way of gathering this data on a broad acre scale, then hopefully we've got better ways of monitoring where our virus yellows outbreaks are.
And it could also reduce the amount of time we have to spend in the lab and testing virus.
Definitely. So clearly at this time of year, a lot of samples come into plant clinic, all from experiments and need testing, which is all well and good, but that is in itself a costly exercise. It takes a fair bit of time. The ELISA plates can fail for various reasons as well, as it's a bit of an art as well as a science. So really, this is offering on the fly ID in the field, directly feeding back to growers. And of course, this time of year, they're thinking about seed orders and can then hopefully, within 12 months, sort of feed back that data to the industry.
And I'm not sure whether Alistair used the term on the fly on purpose just then as the drone came over our heads. I think we might have just been imaged.
The drone you already have has a multi-spectra camera, as we said, and that is very good at certain things.
It's a great piece of hardware, but this takes it to another level,
it
really.
It just adds what can be done, and we know there's a demand for it. We know it's required. One of the things that we've had a lot of different customers in different fields talking to us about is a lot of things in agriculture in particular, they're based on opinion and how people see things. And what we're hoping to do here is drive and improve the data that we're able to collect. So without data, it is just opinions. With the data, we can give proof of what things are as we're moving through. That's what we're aspiring to. That's what we want to work to enable. But that's part of the motivation for us.
So you've just said about aspiring to something. How long is it going to take before this prototype is ready for use in field, do you think?
So for testing and doing things, we're using it. So for evaluating what you can do and working out what can be done, it's there now. In terms of something that I'd expect to be regularly on the back of a tractor or used on a drone, we're probably talking 6 to 9 months away for it to start and start building. I mean, as we've shown here, we've got it running in a drone. It's not optimised for it. Yeah. It's heavier than we would like it to be. There's no stabilisation or anything, so we're very curious about what we're going to see. So we will be able to do that, but we're probably a year away from doing that properly on a drone.
That is still fantastic, isn't it? And good news to our ears, because for the majority of things we do in research and trials and things, we see something and it can take a number of years to come to fruition. So to find a company like yours that we can work with that's already got the kit there and we can tweak things, it will be great for us.
So clearly it's not a finished product for end users yet, but for us at BBRO, hopefully we'll be investing in one quite soon and really start gathering all that data set that's needed to drive models and decisions in the future.
Yeah, well, we shall look forward to seeing these results, and we'll catch up with Alistair later to find out how it's all gone. Thank you very much, Roger.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jez.
We'll leave a mesmerised Alistair in the field, but for our focus for the next couple of years, we'll be looking closer at crop monitoring and management,
And to hear more about what we have planned, ensure you sign up to attend one of our February conferences titled Details Deliver. These will be held on the 4th of February at the Norfolk Showground and the 11th of February at Newark Showground. Make sure you book via the BBRO website, www.bbro.co.uk/events. If you're after basis points, here's the reference number, CP/140363/2425/K. I hope you've enjoyed this month's podcast and thank you for listening.